Hey guys, welcome to the Cloud Computing Weekly Podcast, your one-stop for news, information, and expert advice around the emerging world of cloud computing. This podcast is brought to you by Cloud Technology Partners in partnership with our host, TechTarget. This is episode 100 for today's 100th episode. We're hosting our first honor debate to answer the important question, is there a business case for private cloud? My name is Dave Linthicum. I'm Cloud Computing SME, author, speaker, B-List Geek, and with the firm Cloud Technology Partners. And joining me is our debaters, speakers, panelists, John Ingate, CTO of Rackspace. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon to you.
And Bernard Golden, who's been on the podcast before, CEO of Navaco, right? Did I say that right?
Navaco.
I'm sorry. I'm way off. That wasn't even close. You're being too generous. So anyway, John, give us a quick background on yourself and what you guys are doing on Rackspace and what you're doing in the public cloud space and also the private cloud space and all those sorts of things. Love to catch up on what you're up to.
Well, sure. For first of all, I just want to say thank you for having me on the podcast. This is my first time here, and I appreciate you inviting me. And as a racker here at Rackspace, I've been with the company for 16 years. We have done a lot in cloud computing over the last decade. You know, we built a cloud. We helped launch OpenStack. Today, we are extending our fanatical support to clouds like Microsoft Azure and Amazon Web Services and supporting OpenStack private clouds for customers all over the world and doing cloud security and a whole bunch of things. And so really, I think my role here today is to talk private cloud, but I'm certainly a big believer in public cloud as well.
Bernard, you? Background? Where you been?
Lots of change in the last five years? Yeah, I've worked in cloud computing for a long time. And over the last four or five years, I guess, I've cycled through a couple of startups that were acquired, one by Dell, one by HP. And now I've gone back to running my own company, Navaco. I consult with companies around cloud computing and so forth. I also am the cloud computing advisor for a training company called Simply Learn that provides online certification in cloud computing for AWS, Azure, and Google. And I have a couple of things I'm working on the side, kind of stealth projects that I expect to be announcing something fairly soon, so watch this space.
Watch this space. Where is this space, by the way? Where can we find you on the web?
Well, I'm probably easiest to find on Twitter. I'm at Bernard Golden on Twitter, and you can always just email me at bernard.golden@gmail.com.
So bringing something out of stealth. So what do you like better, the product space or the consulting space, since you've done both?
Each of them has its challenges. I'll say that. One of the things that's great about consulting, I think, is the opportunity you have to really engage with end users and look at the problems there or opportunities that they're seeking to grasp. And it's fascinating the kinds of things that you get exposed to and that you get to work with. And I would say that's a real pleasure. You know, product companies also are great because, you know, you're sort of building something new and taking it to the marketplace and you know, providing something that probably users don't have access to at all, because typically what you're building is something that they could never really invest in and create themselves. So, you know, there's a real kind of a nice sense of that. And working in startups is always fun. So I guess it's a sort of a on the one hand, on the other hand answer.
So looking at our topic that we're going to be discussing, and you guys are going to be discussing, because I'm kind of moderating this thing, so it's a cool thing is I don't get to provide much of an opinion, but ultimately, you know, is there still a business case for private cloud? And there's a lot going back and forth in the world of private cloud. And private cloud was all that in a bag of chips, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. We're doing a lot of OpenStack-based stuff, things like that. And even Amazon came out with their VPCs. And, you know, fast forward 2016, 2017, there doesn't seem to be a lot going on out there in the world of private cloud, or at least that's the perception. Maybe that is not the reality. And going forward, I think that enterprises are, rightfully so, asking about the business case for private cloud, because you have to own your own hardware and software. However, there's some value to dealing with security and compliance, which means you need to keep your stuff local, and therefore private cloud is germane and applicable in those spaces. Yet, economies of scale and features and functions, you know, there seems to be more going on in the public cloud space, or at least that's perception. So ultimately, I'm going to leave it to you guys, and we're going to have a honest and open and frank discussion in terms of lots of our listeners who are asking the question, you know, is private cloud right for me, and do I have a business case for it, and should I start investing for it? So Bernard, I'm going to start with you. So what is the business case for private cloud and where is it best applied? We'll just get right into it.
Well, the business case is typically, I think, centered around an IT organization has constraints on a particular set of solutions, some part of their application portfolio, that preclude the use of a public cloud environment. It may be that they have compliance requirements. Maybe they're located in a geography that, you know, insists that no data be located outside of the national boundary, and there's no viable public cloud provider within that national boundary. So they have, if they want to use cloud computing, they have to do something themselves. Another common constraint is that they want to build applications that have to talk to already existing applications that reside within their data center. And the latency for the network traffic would be too great to be able to place a new application outside the boundaries of their data center. And a third one that's very common is, you know, the concept of data gravity. You've got a huge amount of data sitting in your data center, and it's impractical to really migrate that to a public cloud provider so that you can write applications that work against that storage. And really, all of those impose constraints that require an IT organization to come up with a solution that they can execute within their own data center. That's what I would say is the business case for private clouds.
Okay. John, same question.
Yeah, those are all true. I would add on that there's other sort of drivers that lead people to the decision to choose a private cloud, maybe over a public cloud in some cases. For example, companies that have a large existing data centers with data center assets could be a long-term contract for a colo, could be a company-owned data center, and that data center might not be full. So it might not make financial sense to go out and spend the money on public cloud, which includes data center and physical assets in the cost of the cloud, when you have some of those already as sunk costs. Other times, companies are measured on EBITDA, and EBITDA sometimes drives companies to choose and prefer capital expenditures over operational expenditures. We see companies all the time in private equity situations where they're being measured by CapEx dollars and measured by OpEx dollars, and CapEx dollars almost come free to them for all practical purposes. And so it makes a lot more sense to own and buy the equipment in many cases than it does to rent it or lease it from a cloud provider. Other cases that we hear, you know, sometimes there are situations where companies have risk around potentially government maybe having access to the data. That's been on the minds of folks ever since the revelations of Edward Snowden a couple of years ago. People worry that, you know, there might be a secret subpoena that has been issued for access to their data, and they have no way to know that data is being accessed via their cloud provider. Now, I know that's probably rare that somebody would have that, happen to them, much less feel it as a burning risk, but it is a very real risk for some organizations. Security and compliance, I think you touched on it. In certain cases, companies need to be able to demonstrate certain strict security requirements or compliance requirements that the various clouds may or may not have the capability today to really live up to. And so all of those, I think, are very realistic. But one that I think overarches a lot of that is just cost. We find companies coming to us and telling us that at certain point in their cloud journey, whether, you know, the cloud seems cheap on the surface, at some point it starts to add up, and they look at cost comparison, a TCO, and many times they can find that their cost reductions can be 20, 30, even 40, 50% compared to public cloud. Now, again, it may be size of the company. It may be a certain stage of the company. Maybe they didn't negotiate well. I don't know. But the point is that there are companies that feel the pain of cost and feel like they can actually save money in the private cloud.
Okay. All those are good, compelling reasons. So is the antithesis of this the public cloud, or is it leaving things in a legacy system? What are the options if we're not moving to a private cloud? Then where are we moving to? Bernard, I'll go with you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think for lots of companies, one, they're obviously embracing public cloud computing. I mean, that's pretty clear from the kind of growth that the public providers are seeing. I think for lots of companies that have assets in place, their question is going to be, do I just sort of leave it as it is and just accept it as, you know, it's a system I've got? Or do I make the extra investment to bring sort of cloud capabilities to that infrastructure? You know, my experience, my prediction is that there'll be a lot more, I'm going to run down the assets I've got and at some point make a decision about what I do about this application, either move it into a public cloud or, you know, find a SaaS alternative, rather than, you know, there's some putative benefit that I might get if I go to a private cloud arrangement, I better go make that investment. Because typically, to go from whatever you've got to cloud capabilities requires a pretty significant investment, both in sort of infrastructure. You know, you might need a new equipment, and certainly you'll need a new software infrastructure, but also in skills. Running clouds typically is harder than it seems like it should be, I guess. And so, you know, they're going to make an evaluation of, you know, do I make additional investment on premise, or do I just take what I've got, treat it as a sunk cost, and make a decision moving on once it sort of reaches what I call an application life stage. You know, it's sort of like real estate. People make real estate decisions when, you know, they go through some life event. You know, they get married or they get divorced or whatever. Same sort of thing with applications. You know, you might come to the end of a hardware cycle, or you might be at a mandatory upgrade or something. And at that point, they go, okay, now what am I going to do? Am I going to change this and put it in public cloud, or am I going to move it to a SaaS environment or something like that? And my sense is that a lot of companies will just say, I'm not going to do too much until I have to.
So, John, you guys are placing bets in both public and private cloud. So what do you see as kind of the trade-offs, and what are you advising your clients in terms of where to place their stuff? And is really private cloud the anti-public cloud,
or is it just anti-legacy? I think it's an upgrade over your existing legacy. I think it certainly makes your legacy environment a lot more accessible to your users, your internal customers. It makes it something that's more agile and nimble and automatable, and all the goodness that people love about public cloud. I mean, look, we are seeing companies upgrade their on-premises environments to be a private cloud or more like a private cloud. I mean, this company Nutanix just went public this week, and that's basically their business model, is helping you create a very cloud-like on-premises infrastructure, with their hyper-converged architecture. And there's every company really addressing that market that's anybody. I mean, if you look at Bernard, your former company, Michael Dell and his crew are basically working hard on figuring out how to continue to make private environments or on-premises environments more cloud-like. And, you know, while I do agree that for some companies, public cloud makes complete sense, total sense. If you're a small company, if you're a small startup, if you're a company that doesn't have existing data centers, existing assets, if you are a very clean environment, that's the one thing I would say about IT is it's messy. IT is messy. It's been built over, sometimes dozens of years. And that messiness oftentimes leads to multiple generations of hardware and software and networking gear and people. There's politics involved in all of this as well. Sometimes people have built their career around a particular technology stack or set of technologies. And all of those things sometimes lead companies to just do both. There are many companies that we encounter that are using public cloud for some portion of their IT infrastructure, and they're using private cloud for other portions, and they really intend long term for them to work together in a multi-cloud arrangement where it's really not an either or, but it's sort of an all of the above arrangement.
So moving on, we got kind of this, and we talked, addressed it already, but let's get into the details. Security. And that was really kind of the battle cry for people who are selling private clouds, is that you really need to deal with security. And you really can't trust the public cloud providers because your data is, to the point you just made, John, they can subpoena your data. Yeah. It can hacked easy. It's in a public cloud environment. You don't have direct control over it. And we're going to get talk a bit about compliance as well. But, you know, here we are a few years later, and we don't seem to see the big cross-tenant hacks that have occurred in the public cloud space. And, of course, we haven't seen it in the private cloud either. So is security still a compelling argument, Bernard, for leveraging private cloud? And if so, what specifically is the issue that we're arguing? Is it encryption? Is it control? Is it compliance issues, things like that?
Well, a lot of what gets called security is really compliance. And compliance, as I pointed out, is a very important reason companies might require to run systems on their own premises. Security, you know, I think of as being, you know, how resistant are the resources to attack? How well do we protect against intrusions and stuff like that? I think it's pretty hard to make the claim that a private cloud can be executed better than what the public cloud providers do on that dimension. And certainly I think we haven't seen anywhere near the kind of intrusions and hacking into public providers that we've seen into companies running their own data environments. So, you know, my sense is that security has really fallen away. And what's ironic is it's fallen away kind of what I expected, that there was never going to be some event where people went, oh, now security is okay with public cloud. It was going to be more of a gradual, you know, I guess it's okay. I haven't seen anything, and kind of a gradual acceptance. And I think that's where we stand with the security issue around private versus public cloud, at least what I've seen.
So what do you think, John?
I actually agree on some aspects of this. Certainly, the public cloud providers are very good at security. I mean, Google and Amazon and Microsoft are top notch in terms of running security at scale across, you know, very large environments, and therefore they have a very large investment in the security operations. As do we. We have the same situation here at Rackspace. Having said all of that, though, there are companies that have very specific requirements. Sometimes that could be classified as compliance, but maybe it's, you know, it depends on how they define it. But certainly they have, but banks, for example, you know, financial services institutions, people that have certain regulated data, they have a hard time, you know, handing that data over to a third party just because they've made certain assertions to their own vendors or customers or partners. And they have ultimate responsibility for that data. And in some cases, I think it just it's untenable for them to let that data out of their own facility or their own possession. And so that's just I think a reality that we face. Again, like I mentioned, IT is kind of messy, and that's a messy aspect of it. I think that clouds can be secure. I think that public clouds can be insecure depending on how they're operated. You know, I think that's one of the things that we've found as we've interacted with customers that are using public clouds and private clouds. You know, a lot depends on what you put in there and how that application is built and architected, whether it's going to be secure. But the cloud doesn't magically make it secure or insecure one way or the other. It has a lot to do with how you manage it, the policies around it, and then really. The compliance sometimes is the dictate that forces your hand in some ways.
So how much of this is control? Are we, basically we want to hug our servers, or is this just really dealing with practical reality? Are we protecting jobs here, protecting egos more so than protecting data? Bernard, I'll go with you. And probably short answer is fine.
Well, what I would say is that there's no question for some companies there are a proportion of their application portfolio that must reside on-premise for these compliance security reasons. You know, the key question is, do those requirements apply across the entire application fleet? And I think if, you know, it's kind of like Warren Buffett says, you know, never ask a barber if you need a haircut. You know, if you ask the people who run the on-premises systems, do we need to keep this stuff on-premise? The answer you're going to get is probably going to be yeah. And let me you know, display the reasons. And one of the questions, if you're a senior IT executive that's, you know, under a lot of pressures, how do you manage costs, but also how do you help your organization become a digital enterprise? Unless you really drill down and say, of my application portfolio, you know, of 100 applications or 1,000 applications, what proportion of them require on-premise, what proportion can be done in a different fashion? It's going to be – you just can't accept the face value answer you get back.
John, what do you think?
I think that's what companies are doing when they're evaluating private cloud. They're looking at you know, what they have today, what proportion of that could go to public cloud. People are doing just that. They're making public cloud, you know, sort of the default for certain applications, if it's customer facing or maybe a mobile application. But at the same time, there is a lot of gravity around those existing applications, the ones that run the business, the ones that have been in place for a long time. And, you know, as good as cloud is and as good as a lot of the cloud providers and vendors are, there aren't always perfect analogs or you know, perfect applications that can replace everything in your environment in the public cloud. There are a lot of things that companies continue to need to run, maybe even on a mainframe or on a AS/400 architecture or on some, you know, legacy platform that sit side by side with other applications in their environment. And those things are very difficult to pick up and move to a public cloud, if not impossible. But I think that private cloud, however, you know, serves the purpose. It sits in that environment, sits side by side with existing applications. It ticks off a lot of the other boxes that they're looking for in the form of automation and agile infrastructure, potentially lower cost. It meets their geographic requirement because it's in their data center. It's one of those things where it's not just one of these things that pushes people to private cloud. It's the fact that it hits a lot of these things. And for certain core applications, that's just very that's the easy route in many ways. And, you know, that's the path of least resistance is sometimes the right path for companies. And I think that's just what some companies are doing in terms of when they choose a private cloud.
So looking at the difference between private cloud and public cloud, a lot of people were pointing to cost and agility and the ability for these things to scale on demand and the ability to configure them on demand to adjust to different platform needs and different platform requirements. Private cloud, not so simple because we actually have to buy the hardware and software to set it up, even though there is some configuration opportunities. We're abstracted away from some of it. So what's the cost and agility argument for private clouds? And why would I move my legacy environment where I'm owning hardware and software to another environment where I'm owning hardware and software? And what would be the internal argument that would make me move into private cloud? So, Bernard, you first.
You know, to be honest, I think that's a big challenge. You know, to go from sort of standard issue virtualization where you've got, you know, system administrators doing manual tasks to really providing the cloud capabilities that, you know, I think really make up cloud computing, it's typically an additional investment that's required. There's no magic button on the side of the server that you press and it goes, oh, now it's a cloud capable thing. It's going to require software infrastructure, hardware infrastructure. You're certainly going to have to train up people, operation skills, and so forth. And you've got to sort of make a pretty strong assessment on the financial side. You know, will I get enough value out of that investment and creating that capability beyond what I already have in place that, you know, it makes sense for me to do that? And, you know, that just seems like an ongoing challenge.
John, how do you deal with that question?
Well, that's one of the things that I think Rackspace has as a strong suit is the support that we provide for our customers. One of the ways that we've addressed some of the challenges that Bernard just mentioned, you know, expertise is one of the things that holds people back, both from public and private cloud. Lack of expertise there is the probably number one reason for not moving to cloud at this stage. Rackspace has actually built a model for delivering private cloud that we believe gives you a lot of the benefits of the private cloud, but with the turnkey nature of public cloud. I mean, we bring you know, all the expertise you need. We do the automated upgrades and updates to the private cloud software. We make it as painless as possible for a company to deploy. And we can even bring the hardware. If a customer wants, wants the hardware, they don't even have to own it. They can rent it from Rackspace, whether that's in our data center or theirs. And so I think there are models where OpenStack and private cloud in general, I shouldn't use OpenStack specifically because there's lots of flavors of private cloud out there, but that's the one that we tend to gravitate to. It actually can work pretty well for companies. And the agility comes from the fact that their users look at that private cloud just like they would a public cloud. They see an endpoint on an API. They see a GUI dashboard. They see whatever automation tools they're using today, like Chef and Ansible and Salt, and all the tools that they're comfortable with working equally well on public or private cloud. And you know, they don't really care much between the two, because functionally they are very, very similar. The only thing is that it just physically sits in your data center, and it makes the life of sometimes certain people in the IT organization a whole lot easier, because they don't have to make the case that everything has to change within the environment. Only certain things have to change, and that's just easier to swallow. I mean, you know, there is something to that. I mean, whether or not you believe public cloud is the long-term future, which I agree that long-term, it may be 10, 15, 20 years, certainly public cloud has a bigger and bigger role over time. But it doesn't mean, you know, private cloud isn't a very big and growing and vibrant business. The folks at IDC say that private cloud is growing at a CAGR of 35%, reaching $40-something billion by 2019. So it's a very vibrant, growing business, and it just proves that there is a demand for it.
So Bernard, back to you. John kind of broached the growth trends and admitted that looks like in the out years it's going to be very much kind of a public cloud world with some private cloud, I'm sure, kind of mixed in. Where do you see it going, and how quickly do you see it moving from private to public, or what configuration you think is going to be dominant, and how people are going to be consuming computing?
I think you've identified the key issue, which is, you know, there's going to be a huge amount of computing going on in public cloud. And we could say, you know, look at sort of milestones of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And the question then is, what of the total application fleet will remain on-premise? You know, is it going to be 80% or 50% or 20%? And, you know, my estimation is that it's going to be lower than most people in the industry expect. Many, many vendors and many analysts kind of use a mental model, I think, that sort of says, oh, yeah, there'll be all this stuff in the public cloud, but, you know, still 80% of computing will be done on-premise. And I think that's vastly optimistic, given kind of trends and what I expect to see. But it's sort of it's like going to a fortune teller at the fairgrounds. You know, it's not certain. It's, you know, let's find out what happens.
So, John, can you expand on your growth projections? You're kind of a little bit more conservative than Bernard, safe to say. But you do think public cloud will become kind of the de facto platform?
My predictions were actually on the private cloud side. The public cloud, I think, is growing nicely, and it's got legs. This public cloud thing is certainly popular. But I was just making the case that private cloud is continuing to grow as well on a nice clip, and there are major companies adopting it every day. There was a statistic that was thrown out at the last OpenStack Summit. I think it said 50% of the Fortune 100 are using OpenStack. Now, I imagine that same 50% are probably doing something with Amazon and probably doing something with Azure and possibly experimenting with Google and others. But the point is that they're using private cloud in conjunction with public cloud. Private cloud has a big role to play, and they're using it for some very large-scale workloads. There are big banks that are using private cloud. There are major telecom companies. Telcos are probably one of the ones that we overlook sometimes, because in some ways they're behind the scenes, but those are major potential users of private cloud, because they in some ways see public cloud as a competitor. And there are other companies just like that, very large retailers in some case look at Amazon as a potential competitor, and therefore they gravitate to private cloud. So, you know, it's always surprising to me just how many companies are leaning into private cloud and public cloud and doing really both. So it doesn't feel like to me that the private cloud is dying anytime soon.
So advice to the to enterprise IT, and this will be our last question. So Bernard, what advice to enterprise IT would you give around adopting the private cloud?
No, I think it's pretty consistent with what I've said, which is to sort of do a really clear-eyed analysis of, given the application portfolio that you've got and the application portfolio you're likely to develop, you know, what proportion of those require cloud capabilities and have constraints that require them to remain on-premise? And for those, sort of scope, you know, my total spend, let's just say, is $10 million. And of that $10 million, the application portfolio that I need that has those constraints and so forth represents $1 million. So, you know, one tenth of my application portfolio has to do that. And then sort of scope what investment or spend I can make to, you know, what proportion or what spend I can afford to make to support that. And then for the remainder, then say, this is something I'm going to consider using public cloud for. And, you know, make a pretty strong financial analysis of that. And, you know, what I tell CIOs is, don't ask the infrastructure group, you know, what they think, because it'll just be like asking your barber if you need a haircut. I mean, the answers you're going to get, they have a natural inclination to come up with a very conservative approach to it.
So, John, you have the last word?
Yeah, I would say to echo some of the points, I think you need to come in certainly with your eyes open and understand the total picture of your IT requirements and your spend and where it's going and how much it costs. And total cost of ownership is a big part of it. Take inventory of your skills, understand what you're good at, what you're not good at. If you're a smaller organization, by all means, don't go build a data center. Go to the public cloud. But if you're an organization that's got substantial IT, I think a private cloud can play an important role for a long time to come in that environment. I think it's a big piece of that that multi-cloud world that we're heading into. And by all means, if you need help on private cloud, give us a call, because we're doing some great work with some great companies and helping them really operate and scale their private clouds very effectively all over the world.
Well, very good. So speaking of plugs, pick up a copy of my book, Cloud Computing and Silicon Versions, which you can find in softback on Amazon as well as on the Kindle. Read my blog on InfoWorld, and don't forget to go to www.cloudtp.com for current cloud news, links to this podcast, and more ways to contact us directly. Twitter, I'm at David Linthicum, LinthiCum. Where are you on Twitter, Bernard?
At Bernard Golden.
Okay. How about you, John?
I'm at Jen Gates, J-E-N-G-A-T-E-S, Jen Gates.
All right, follow those guys right now, leaders in the cloud computing world, to keep up with it. And also, we'll see who won the debate when we review this podcast in 10 years. The fall edition of the Doppler Quarterly is shipping in November. Enjoy the 80-plus pages of our top cloud news and best practices delivered to your door for free. If you're not already on the mailing list, go to cloudtp.com/Doppler to sign up. Also, please make sure to support our host, TechTarget. Make sure to read my content there, as well as some great research, reporting, and events. Please go to searchcloudcomputing.techtarget.com. So until next time, well, best of luck in building your cloud computing solutions. We'll be back next week. You guys take good care. Bye-bye.